1 Peter 2:13 through 15 and 18 through 20. Be subject for the sake of the Lord to every human institution, whether to a king as the one in authority, or to governors as sent by him for the punishment of evildoers and the praise of those who do good. For such is the will of God, that by doing good you may silence the ignorance of foolish men. Servants, be subject to your masters with all fear, not only to those who are good and considerate, but also to those who are crooked. For this finds favor, if for the sake of conscience towards God a person bears up under sorrows when suffering unrighteously. For what credit is there if when you sin and are harshly treated, you endure? But if when you do good and suffer for it, you endure, this finds favor with God. First, we are taught by God in this passage how all authority on earth comes from the authority of God, which is to say that God's authority is over all human authority. As a result, God's authority is over all of mankind. Even so, he created and continues to put into place the structure of human authority and order for our good. According to verse 14, all earthly rulers are, quote, sent by him. So what about the unrighteous rulers? Some might still wonder. Well, we know that God is light, and in him there is no darkness at all, 1 John 1. Such a vivid picture reveals the morally pure holiness of God, who does not sin, who does not commit evil or do wrong. In other words, if there is any unrighteousness in any earthly authority who is sent by God, that ruler is responsible for their sin alone. That is to say, each individual in authority is absolutely responsible and will be held accountable for any improper and unholy use of the authority God has given them. We see both the source of earthly authority coming from God and the accountable responsibility of man's use of it in Jesus' words to the ruler Pilate during Jesus' trial. In John 19, verses 10 through 11, we hear, "So Pilate said to him, 'You do not speak to me? Do you not know that I have authority to release you, or I have authority to crucify you?' And Jesus answered, 'You would have no authority over me unless it had been given you from above. For this reason, he who delivered me to you has the greater sin.'" Those who handed Jesus over to Pilate have, quote, "the greater sin," which implies Pilate is also guilty of sin. What sin? The wrong use of authority with false witnesses and an undeserved punishment. Yet Jesus also teaches Pilate something about his evil abuse of authority. He says, "You would have no authority over me unless it had been given to you from above." The bottom line, then, is that God gives all authority to all who are in authority, and each one will be held responsible for using that authority righteously. Here we also see a great example in Jesus' submission. He never fought back, he never rebelled, he never vindicated himself, even though in his innocence he had every right to. Instead, the very authority that brought him great suffering and even death, Jesus completely submitted himself to. We're called to follow Jesus in this example. We'll see that later in verse 21 through 23. That doesn't mean it's easy, but it is a process of being conformed to his image. Romans 8:29. So again, God teaches us to be subject for the sake of the Lord to every human institution, whether to a king as the one in authority or to governors as sent by him. Second, it is critical that we notice how God commands us to be, quote, "subject for the Lord's sake to every human institution." That means even the, quote, "crooked ones," verse 18, and the ones that harshly treat us, see verse 20. In other words, having unrighteous or unfair authorities does not exempt us from the Lord's command to be subject to them. As wrong or as harsh or as evil as they may be, our subjection to them is, quote, "the will of God," see verse 15. Third, our freedom, individuality, or our plans for life may be crushed by authorities, but God's will is that we would still obey. So, all kings, all presidents, governors, lawmakers, judges, masters, bosses, church elders, all parents and husbands are to be submitted to, despite the fact that each one of them is sinful and far from perfect. Now, this can be very challenging, as their wrongs are the easiest excuse for our disobedience or our disregarding them. Yet, every authority is from God, Romans 13:1. This means every disobedience or disregard of those who are in authority over us is actually done to God himself. Fourth, verse 19 and 20 of 1 Peter 2 teach us that through our unfair or unjust suffering under those in authority over us, we gain, quote, "favor with God." However, this is only true if we do subject ourselves to the unfair and unjust treatment. Retaliation is not submission. Revenge is not submission. Disobedience is not submission. So that if we do not subject ourselves, or if we instead even deserve the harsh treatment we receive, we don't gain credit before God. In other words, our vengeance against authority removes God's favor upon us that we would have gained for obedience and suffering righteously under them. That is to say, when we do not do what God has instructed us by suffering under authorities unjustly, we not only forfeit treasure in heaven, but we actually live in sin. It's important to note here that this, quote, favor is not the same as the favor we gain in justification, that is by grace through faith in Jesus Christ alone. Faith in Christ as our Lord and Savior makes us positionally completely just and completely favored by God, despite our sinfulness. Yet, like obedient children, we gain the favor and pleasure of the Father as we do His will in practice, even though we already have His favor in position. This is the daily life of a true believer. It is what we call sanctification, the growing pursuit of holy living according to God's all-sufficient word. Regarding our verse then, godly obedience to unfair and unjust authorities can in no way save us, but it is the product and it is the pursuit of those who are trusting in the Savior and Lord. Fifth, we are taught by God from this verse how we should never expect fallen humans to be perfectly righteous. We should expect sin of everyone who is in authority over us. In other words, even those who lead us as Christians, they will fail. As not one authority whom God has put in place is perfect and holy as God is holy. Why is this important? Because the commandment to, quote, be subject to, quote, every human institution is given regardless of all of those human beings being under the curse of sin. The modern ideology of personal freedom, which is a cultural and social law of personal freedom, is in strong opposition to God's teaching of subjection to every authority. The ideologies of the feminist movement have in the same way turned submission and headship and the authority of men into social injustice that is repugnant and evil today. Against such cultural currents, the true believer must go against the norm and submit to God, by submitting to the sinful people he has placed in authority over them. Even, quote, bearing up under sorrows, verse 19, and even, quote, enduring when we are, quote, harshly treated by them, verse 20. Their right or wrong behavior, then, is not our motivation or reason for being subject to them. God's glory is our one and only motivation. Application. How concerned am I with how others treat me? How concerned am I with how I treat others? Am I submitting to harsh and unfair treatment? Am I glorifying God as I submit myself to every human authority for the sake of the Lord? Do I make excuses for not being subject to those whom God has placed over me, like my boss or my husband or my parents or my government? Do I use, quote, freedom in Christ as an excuse to disobey man? Do I use freedom in Christ as an excuse to disobey God? Confess these as sin against God. Turn away from them. Take such thoughts captive to the obedience of Christ. Seek reconciliation with someone. Commit to bear fruit in keeping with repentance. Submit your life to all earthly authorities as an extension of being a slave of Jesus and a slave of righteousness. See Jude 1 and Romans 6:18. Let's pray. Father, I confess my sin of selfishness in being so focused on how others ought to treat me and how they do not. Humble my heart that I might suffer and submit to even sinful and harsh authorities. Not that I would obey them if they command me to sin, but that I would obey them even by suffering. Keep me from excusing my disobedience with their sinfulness, so that I do not disobey your authority in them for my good. Transform my heart to live self-sacrificially, even while suffering unjustly under authority, so that you and you alone will receive all the glory. Amen.